Good morning. It's good for us to be here once again in the presence of God and the presence of the saints to worship God in spirit and in truth. The topic of today's lessons is called A Cup of Good Cheer. A Cup of Good Cheer. Now, lesson text, if you turn to that, was going to come from John chapter 16 and verse number 33. That's John chapter 16 and verse number 33. You know, I've heard about a phrase that's called poetic justice. And poetic justice is defined as unexpected positive resolve. Unexpected positive resolve. And I look around and I can see that we live in a day and a time that all we hear is news from a negative society. Everything around us seems to be just so tragic. My question is, can we find a sliver of joy? Can we find a sliver of peace? Can we truly sit and drink from a cup of good cheer? Because it seems as if cheer has been lost in the middle of all of these things that are going on in our lives. We can't even find anything to cheer about. In John chapter 16, verse number 33, I want to read this to you from two versions. We're going to start with the Amplified Version first and then move to the King James Version. In John chapter 16, verse 33, Jesus said, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering. But be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding." John 16, 33, King James Version. "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." You know, as saints of God, we certainly should be able to be of good cheer. And at least most, if not all, of our Christian lives, we ought to be a people of good cheer. Especially and when we can see heaven as a big picture at the end of our lives. No matter what bad things may be going on in our lives right now, no matter what the crisis is that surrounds us right now, no matter how badly someone may be treating us right now, we can know that God loves us and will be there for us even in our time of need. Now, I'm not saying that we will not experience difficult times or anything like that. I'm not saying that we're not going to experience depressed times. Surely we will. What I'm saying is that we can lift ourselves out of the bad times by, number one, focusing on the good things that are happening around us right now. And number two, by focusing on God Almighty and what He offers us. We must realize that there's good news mixed in with bad news all the time. But you never hear the good news. You always hear the bad news. It's always sensationalized. But there's also good news, and from that good news, that ought to cause each and every one of us as Christians, as God's people, as saints, it should cause us to be of good cheer. Now, as of this present moment, I know that many are finding it hard and are struggling with rejoicing. I know that. Because struggling is a thing that is just all around us right now. And struggling with partaking in good cheer. Some people are struggling with good cheer right now. And I know that there's a great deal of things happening around us. And these things are not consistent with any thoughts of cheer whatsoever. So Paul tells us we need to pray to God and turn our problems over to Him. When we do this, it will bring us peace because we know that God is listening to our problems. It will bring us peace because He is listening to our requests. It will bring us peace and knowing that He will answer our prayers in a way that will work out for the good of those that love the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7 to the church at Philippi, Paul penned these words. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." He says, "Let me say it again. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, isn't that wonderful? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts, will guard your minds through Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. To them that are called according to his purpose, all things work together. The question that you have to ask yourself is, do you love the Lord? Do you love him? Do you love him enough to answer the call and adhere to the purposes that he has called you to as people of God? We can, and we just remind ourselves that God is going to be there. He's always been there to strengthen us in our time of need. And when we do, we remind ourselves of that, it'll become much easier for us not only to deal with the problems of our life, but also make it possible to be of good cheer. When we discover that there's always something out there that we can be happy about, there's always something to rejoice about, even though the society presents us with negative aspects of life and sensationalizes everything, there's always something out there to be thankful about. There's always something out there to be grateful about. There's always something out there to be cheerful about. In the middle of all the things that are happening in our lives right now, there's something out there that can make us smile. Notice what James says. James chapter 1, verse number 2 through 4. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. When you fall into different temptations, just let the joy of God just come out of you, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking absolutely nothing. Nothing. The joy that we get in our hearts from trials is something that we can be grateful for. Because God says that the patience that comes from that is going to make us complete and perfect and entire, and we will lack absolutely nothing. So when you look through the Bible and you see over and over and over again the trials that people went through, those trials almost always cause them to grow stronger in their faith in God. And while trials are not pleasant, some are not pleasant at all, and while this pandemic has redirected and threatened multiple lives and lifestyles, we can find joy in this day, the day at hand. Find joy in this day that the Lord has made. And we can find peace and joy, and we can be of good cheer, knowing that we can take on this trial and ever increase our faith in God day after day after day. Nighttime no less, always. The dawn is coming. The dawn is coming. And with the dawn will come the light. Let's increase our faith in God. You can have peace in this world, John says in John chapter 16, 33. You can have peace in a world filled with tribulation. Right now, you can have peace. But be of good cheer. Jesus says, I've overcome the world. Here's a question for you. Is this pandemic showing that we think we need something more? Is our God not enough for us? Have we drifted away from God in our panic? Have we drifted away from God rather than turning to him, rather than calling on him? Have we just drifted because of the lack of a routine of going to church every Sunday morning and meeting in the building? Have we drifted? Has this pandemic caused us to think about things that are not in accordance with God's word? And because we feel with panic, we simply don't know which way to turn. I want to read you a story from Mark chapter 4. Verses 35 through 40, and see if you can identify with this. I certainly can. Hopefully you can as well. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 40. And the same day, when the evening was come, he said unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that the ship was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? The disciples here were faced with an invisible threat to their lives, an invisible threat of death. And they were also faced with the reality of not being able to drink from the cup that was at hand. But as we can read and as we can attest to in our lives, the presence of God was not then and is not now invisible in our lives. God is not invisible with his presence in our lives. Our faith may have very well faded, but even in our very present and threatening circumstance, we can call on our God, a God who is near to each and every one of us. He does not forsake us, nor will he abandon us. God is all you need, because he can carry you through all of life's blessings and difficulties. God is all you need. He can carry you through trials and tribulations. He's all you need. God can carry us through the joys and the pains that we experience in this life. We're living in a time where it seems like everything is just so uncertain. Even the future is uncertain going forward. But there's one thing that is certain. The Lord is certain. Our God is certain and will not forsake his people. As a matter of fact, God is the most certain thing there is in this life itself. The disciples recognized that. And in their fear, they called on him. And I got to tell you, amid the present danger and abundant fear that was present on that boat, I got to tell you, I'm glad that Jesus didn't just get up scrambling and grab a bucket. I'm glad about that. I mean, it may have seemed to help with the water at the time, just bailing with the bucket. It may have even momentarily calmed their fears that Jesus grabbed the bucket. But what about the wind? That was the real threat, right? What about the wind? You couldn't solve that problem with a bucket. You couldn't. Think about what really have actually killed them. Think about what it was that was threatening their lives. It wasn't the wind. It wasn't the water. It was fear. They had drank a big cup of fear. But in the presence of the things that we're going through right now at this moment, we don't have to be fearful, especially when we can drink from the cup of faith. You see, it's either faith or it's fear. What are you drinking from? Either you're drinking from the cup of fear or you're drinking from the cup of faith. We don't have to be fearful at all. Verse number 40 asks us the question, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Are we drifting? Are we drifting because of this pandemic and forgetting about our God? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have absolutely no faith? Now I want you to back up to verse number 39. And he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. Oh, we heard that all of our lives, and we simply never digested the real meaning of what Jesus was trying to do in that moment. And he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said unto the sea, Y'all just keep still. Peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. What is God teaching us right now as we look at these verses? What is he trying to tell us right now? I want you to remember one thing about this story. They were filled with fear. And the boat was filled with water. And Jesus arose and ushered in peace and calm so that he can replace their fear with faith. He ushered in peace. Let's read a sad commentary when someone can't find any peace in their lives. When they can't find peace anything at all in their lives, their circumstances, their finances, their relationships, they can't find peace within themselves. What a sad commentary that is. But Jesus got up and he ushered in peace and calm to replace their fear with the faith that comes from God. Where is your faith? Where is it? Answer that question. Why are you so fearful? Is it that you have no faith? We serve a God that's just incredible, and I don't think we know even half the things that we ought to know about who God is. But what we do know, is that God is showing us at this very moment in our lives that he has and he could wipe out completely this devastating crisis that's in our lives right now. He can do it. He can do it. We thought we had a bulletproof economy, didn't we? That economy could never be exposed or brought down. What about now? What about right now? Yet God is showing that something invisible to the naked eye can destroy the economies of every nation on this earth, every last nation. God was trying to teach his people about the need to rely on him and not turn to emptying buckets to solve the problem. We emptying too many buckets to solve our problems. He was trying to tell his people that and only he can create calm in the middle of a storm. He was trying to tell them that only he alone has overcome the world and that faith that overcomes the world comes from his word. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. His word calls us to be of good cheer. So let me encourage you and you and you and you. Let me encourage you to stop scrambling in fear. Let me encourage you to stop emptying buckets. We all in the same boat, and that's not a life-saving solution. We got to call on God and drink from the cup of faith. We got to call on God and experience his calm. We've got to call on God, and we can live. We can live. I mean, think about it. Let's look at the great things that God has done already for us in our lives. And let's fear him and keep his commandments. Let's fear him and serve him faithfully with all of our heart. Stop looking for something else. Stop looking for more. Stop trying to solve the problem yourself. Stop drinking from the cup of uncertainty. Stop drinking from the cup of countless theories. Stop drinking from the cup of doubt. Because our desire for more out of this life is killing us and destroying us. Everybody has the answer. Let's spray some disinfectant down your lungs, and that might be all right for you. Amen. Everybody's got an answer, but it's ridiculous. Take a look at the big picture and realize that the peace of God is all you need. That's all you need. Revelation chapter 21. Verses 3 and 4. Revelation 21, 3 and 4. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men. And he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." When you look at the environment of heaven, when we look at the big picture of what heaven presents to us, heaven's environment is truly beyond our comprehension. It really is. There will be no evil of any kind in heaven. I mean, can you imagine not having any evil happening in our lives in this whole world for just 24 hours? No evil. Imagine that right now. No evil for 24 hours. Heaven is going to be like that, but it's going to be eternal. Permanent peace beyond anything that we have ever experienced will exist then. I'll be at peace with God. I'll be at peace with myself. I'll be at peace with others. Not one person will I have to avoid. Not one person will I have to look at sideways. Not one person will I have to utter a word of ill will to. I will be at peace with God. I will be at peace with myself. And I will be at peace with my fellow man. I will be at peace, devoid of all the world's circumstances. Peace, devoid of diseases and sin. Peace, devoid of financial responsibility. Perfect peace that comes from God. My soul will be around the throne of God. And isn't that something to cheer about? The joy of love is going to be permanent then. And grief cannot exist. No one will ever experience any form of need because God is going to take care of everything there. He's going to dwell among us and we're going to be his people and he's going to be our God. He's going to wipe away every tear from our eyes. And there will no longer be any death, no longer any mourning, no crying or pain. So what does that mean? What does that mean when you look at that? There will be no conflict of any kind. Can you cheer about that? There will never be anything to fear. There will never be a need to escape any crises. Can you cheer about that? No grief. No sorrow. No pain. I will never preach another funeral. I'll never visit another hospital. I'll never see another filled with tears because of fear in their lives. Our cup will be so full, we will sip on every drop of peace in the presence of our God. Every drop. And we will be confident. And we will be undaunted. And we will be filled with cheer and joy everlasting. Because the big picture in our lives, if it's not right now, ought to be heaven. Ought to be heaven. This world is not, here's the cliche, this world is not our own. We're passing through, passing through. You know, I did this poem in a sermon some time ago. And allow me to revisit just an excerpt from this poem. It's a poem by John Paul Moore. Here's what it says. I remember times when things went wrong. My faith wore somewhat thin. But all at once the dark clouds broke and the sun peeped through again. So Lord, help me not to gripe. Although about the tough roads I've hold, I'm drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. If God gives me strength and courage when the way grows steep and rough, I'll not ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. And may I never be too busy to help others bear their loads, then I'll keep drinking from my saucer because my cup has overflowed. Now allow me to revisit this poetry from God. Poetry that we've come to love. This poetry comes from the book of Psalm 23. Six verses, only six verses. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me along the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, For thou art with me, and rod and thy staff thee, they comfort me. Thou prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. My cup just overflows. It overflows. And surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. My cup overflows. There's goodness. There's mercy. And it follows me. Can you imagine that? The goodness of God and the mercy of God is following me all the days of my life. So we don't have to dwell in fear, but constantly drink from the cup of cheer, because there's the grace, the mercy, and the love, and the peace, and the calm that comes from God in the middle of anything that you might be going through. John 16:33, Amplified Version. I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunted, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. And we talked about poetic justice at the beginning of this lesson. The fear and terror of the cross is true poetic justice. True poetic justice. What does poetic justice mean? It is unexpected positive resolve. That's poetic justice. The cross of Christ is true poetic justice. Our God rose up and he came to life to eradicate the fear of death. Our fear of death, my fear and your fear, he eradicated our fear of death and has allowed us to embrace the faith that comes from God. He's allowed us to embrace faith as our cup of cheer, allowed us to embrace our faith without fear as a cup which we can drink and live. And boy, do we need to live. God has called us to hear his word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He calls us to believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the true and living God. In John 8:24, he says, truly, truly, I say unto thee, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. We've got to repent of our sins. In Luke chapter 5, 31 and 32, the Bible says, and Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. We've got to confess Christ. The Bible says in 1 John 2:23, whosoever denies the Son, the same has not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. We've got to be baptized in water for the remission of our sins. 2 Corinthians 5:16-19. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he was committed to us the message of reconciliation. There are those out there that need to be baptized for the remission of their sins. There are those that have been living in fear without any regard to who God is or what God has called us to. Need to respond to the faith that comes from God. Here is a word that you might live. And drink from a cup of cheer, knowing full well that our big picture is heaven itself, where eternity will not know of anything that has happened at all. If we can help you, why don't you come as we stand and sing the invitation song. We're going to transition now into the Lord's Supper. The scripture comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting out in verse number 20, as the question is asked. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, the other is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat or drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and the shame, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many have fallen asleep. Let us pray. O most gracious and wonderful Father, we're grateful for the Christ and for the redemption that he has brought to us on this earth. We're grateful for his sacrifice on Calvary's cross that is of first importance and should be in all of our lives. That he lived and he ministered and he was crucified and died and he rose on the third day, Father, and he appeared 40 days after. And that he was taken into heaven and he's on the right hand on the throne of the Father, even right now. We're grateful, Father, that you have allowed death to pass over us. And as we partake in this communion that you have left for us to remember your Son, we ask that we might do it in a manner that's worthy and acceptable in your sight, that our hearts and our minds might be open, Father, to receive this with the grace and mercy and the justice that you so desire to give us. We thank you for your love, but we know that you loved us first. He gave us your Son. These are all blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.